Yud Zayin Teves, Tuesday the 29th of December, Rabbi Yossi Feingold, No Se Ba'ol Im Chaveiro.
It's a huge privilege to be back here in Torah Way, and I'm grateful as ever to Ascholim and to the Mishtatfim, the regular people who come, for ensuring continuity. I myself am a virtual Talmud of the program. So I've had countless hours of Talmud Ruchni myself. I brought today with me a sefer called Das Torah. It was written by Rav Yerucham Levovitz, who was the legendary Mashkiach in Meir Yeshiva. He died in 1936. He was considered the Gadol Hador, so to speak, in Musa. And his many of his mamorim are written in the sefer Das Torah. And today, I want, for part of this year, I'd like to take one of his mamorim on Parashat Shmos and develop it with you. But really, I wanted to start off with an anecdote, a story that took place whilst he was the Mashkiach of Meir Yeshiva. So at one time, he seriously contemplated closing down the yeshiva. Maisa Shehoya Kachoya. At the end of one day's learning, a group of six yeshiva bachrim, they started to make their way to their residencies. And they were talking and learning, and it was Labor Day, and they were frolicking, and they were being a bit louder than usual. And unbeknownst to them, the Polish police were around the corner, and they were not known for their amazing Ahavas Yisrael. And they took to this situation very seriously, and they came quickly after these bachrim, and they motioned to them to make their way over there, and they said to them, you, all of you six, please produce your identification papers. Now for these bachrim, it was the first time that they had to produce any sorts of identification, and they explained to the police that we're all from different towns, we're six bachrim, but we're three each living in different locales. So the police says, no problem, we're following you. V'kachava, they followed everyone, and the first group came to their location, to their residency, and they showed the police the identification papers, and the police were okay with it. And then they went on to the second location. On the next day, there was somewhat of a big tumult in yeshiva. Everyone was talking about this maisa, and Rabbi Yerucham immediately interviewed those bacharim that it took place with. And after he spoke to them, he says, I need an hour or two to think about what happened, because I'm seriously contemplating about closing the yeshiva, closing the doors forever. And afterwards he explained that the first group, three, true, they showed their identification papers. But then he asked them, what happened afterwards? And the bachrim said, well, we carried on, we went to bed. Say again, we went to bed. You went to bed. And how did you sleep? Said Rabbi Yerucham. And one of the bachrim says, okay, you slept okay. And you didn't know what was happening to the other three, you had no idea. But Rabbi, what could be the issue? We knew that they had identification papers. Not good enough. And he's seriously contemplating closing down the yeshiva. Now this maisa seems to be extreme. Let's leave it aside for the moment, and we'll try to connect it to the content of the shir during the course of this shir. Obviously the parasha this week is Parasha Shemois. When a child was born to Aram and Yocheved, as reported this week in the parasha, there's a whole assortment of names that are allotted to this child. The father Amram chooses the name Chever. The mother Yocheved chose the name Yekusiel. Even the sister Miriam Hanaviah, chooses the name Yered. And Chazal in Gemaras and Megillah and in Yalkut Shemoni say other names. Aaron chose a name. The Gemaras tells us of a Machloikas. Remeah says perhaps his name was Toiv. Rabbi Huda says his name was Tovia. Then we find names such as Aviza Noach, Avigdor. Klal Yisrael called him Shmaya. And yet, the name that's designated for this child for his entire lifetime, but not only for his entire lifetime, but Lenetzach Netzachim, the name that the Torah writes so many times, the name that the Rabbeinu Shalom uses, was given to him by Basya Bas Paroi. Reason being, Ki min hamayim mishisihu. It begs the question, how is it that the name that Basya Bas Paroi chooses, Ki min hamayim mishisihu, supersedes the name that her father, that his father Amram, chooses for him? And bear in mind, Amram was the god of Hador. Moreover, if we were to look into the Lashon, Mishisihu is a Lashon Ova. He has been drawn out. Moshe is a Lashon of Hove. He is drawing out. If you wanted to be grammatically correct, it should say Moshu. He's been pulled out. If we're following the line of Mishisihu, his name should have been Moshu. And indeed, the Sephorna addresses this issue. Sephorna writes that Basya Bas Paroi had the foresight to realize that there's so many nisim surrounding this baby, there's so many things that are shaloy al pi derech hateva, that he must have a different tachlis. The tachlis of this child is going to be a savior. And therefore she names him al shem ha'osid. He will be a Moshe. He will draw Yidden out of their shverikait and of their problems, of their sorrows. He will be the Moshiach of Yisrael. He'll be the Savior. And that's the name that she chooses for the tachlis of this child. Let's examine this concept of Moshe, of doing things to help Klal Yisrael and not being a Moshu. We remind ourselves of a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah tells us, Mem ches devarim sheha Torah niknes bahem. There are 48 ways of acquiring the Torah. One of the prerequisites to acquiring the Torah, tells us the Mishnah, is the midah of noise ba'oil im chaveroi, which means sharing the yoke, carrying the burden, being hypersensitive to a chaver, a friend, in his need. In fact, this midah of noise ba'olcha im chaveroi is the midah of the Rabbeinu Shlalom. Where do we see such a midah? Klal Yisrael were once privy to the most fascinating imagery possible. There's a pasuk that tells us in Mishpatim that by Matan Torah, there was Nodav Aviyu v'Shivim Zkenim. They were able to see Kaviyochel the Rabbeinu Shalom. I can't put this into our terminology because it's not something that's explainable. But the pasuk says the following: Vayiru, they saw Eselukei Yisrael. Kaviyochel, they saw an image of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the pasuk tells us, and I quote: V'tachas Raglov, and underneath his feet, Kema'ase was like the handiwork, Livnas HaSapir. That translates to be Livnas, our brickwork, Sapir is sapphire. What is this Livnas HaSapir? Where does it come from? Why was it there? Rashi says, and I quote, He hoysolofonov, these bricks were before him, Bishas HaShibud, during the slavery, during the terrible oppression of the Yidden in Mitzrayim, that's when they were put in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Lizko, to remind, so to speak, Kabayacha, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Tzarason Shel Yisrael, of the Tsar of the Yisrael, when it was Vayimaru Eschayehem, when their lives were completely embittered, B'chomer of Elvenim, when they were making these bricks and cement for Paroi. So the Rabbeinu Shalom had a reminder in front of him, Livnas HaSapir. Why? Because he was mishtatif with the Tsar of the Yidden. It was a noisei ba'oil im chaveroi. When were the Yidden first? When did they experience this? Mid of the Rabbeinu Shalom, the first time they saw this was at Matan Torah. So we see that there's a connection between noisei ba'oil im chaveroi with acquiring the Torah. Going back to the story that we started with Reb Yeruchim, it must be that the Reb Yeruchim he understood what is the goal of a Ben Torah. What should a Talmud Yeshiva look like? He has to have these prerequisites. He has to have these middos. If he doesn't have these middos, what's the point of going to Yeshiva? He couldn't fathom the idea that there's a Ben Torah, somebody who calls himself a Talmud Yeshiva, and he doesn't have this basic middah of Noseh Ba'olam Chaverah that the Mishnah so eloquently speaks about. Rabbi, so what does it mean, Noseh Ba'olam Chaverah? It doesn't mean giving a friend tzedakah. It doesn't mean being a mensch, helping out once in a while a friend. Let's look into the life of Moshe Rabbeinu and we'll see. Kol Yemei Chayav, Metchilasei Va'ad Soifai. It is riddled with this middah of Noseh Ba'olam Chaverah. When we look in the Psukim, we find the Pasuk Vayigdal Moshe. Moshe grows up. From then on, from that Pasuk, until when he's told you're going to become the ultimate messenger of Hashem, there's only 11 Psukim. So we are told, so to speak, about Moshe's life. If you want to know a biography about Moshe Rabbeinu, it's in these 11 Psukim, and then he will be considered Moshiach Shel Yisrael. Tells us that first Pasuk. Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe grew up. Vayetze al Echav, and he went out to his brothers. Vayyar b'sivloisam, and he sees in their sivlos. Vayigdal doesn't just only mean that he grew up into adulthood. The Sforim say Vayigdal means that he's also promoted into the high echelons of Egyptian ministry. He gets a much better job. He's considered a Sar v'chashuv. And on that day, he goes out to his brothers. Vayyar, and he sees b'sivloisam. In their pain, Rashi says some famous words. Nosan Eino Viliboy. He puts his eyes in his heart. Liyos Meitzar Alehem. To be sorrowful for them. He's now going to have sleepless nights for a very long time. And the Medrash tells us it's even more than an emotional tsar that Moshe's having. The Medrash says these words. Mahu Vayar. What does it mean, Vayar? Shehoyaroya b'sivloisam. He went out to see their sivlos, uboiche, and he cried. Vo'imer chaval li aleichem. And he kept on saying, woe is to me. Mi'itin moisi aleichem. I'd rather die than to see what you're going through. But it's not just that. The Medrash says, he drastically and dramatically changes his entire life because of what he sees. Vo'hoya noisin k'seifav, he gave his own shoulders, literally, Noseh Ba'ol. He shared the yoke quite literally. He gave his own shoulders. U'misayeh l'chol echod ve'echod mehem. And he helped every single one of them. Such a middah, the Rabbeinu Shalom was watching carefully, he observed, and the Medrash says, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Rabbeinu Shalom saw that, he said, Ato hinachto asokecha. You left your work. What does it mean you left your work? You were fired from that promotion that you had that day. You're never going back to that promotion. You're never going back to the palace of Paroi. You've drastically and you've dramatically changed your life. And because of that, you left your work. So therefore, and you were noyeg like an ach to them. I'm coming down from this celestial place where I am. And I'm going to speak to you. Today on the way here I heard the news that the Prime Minister of England, David Cameron, put on his Wellington boots and he went to help those people in York. He went to help those people in York. But he went with a paparazzi and he was pictured. And how long was he there for? He was there for an hour. Tucker, very nice. But is he going to lose his job because of that? Is he going to say, I resign because something went wrong with the government? I don't think so. Moshe Rabbeinu says, there is sivlus in my folk. So I need to change it. And if it means losing my job, so I lose my job. That's considered a Noseh Ba'olam Chaverah. That's the first incident. That's Vayah B'Sivloisa. Moving on, we'll see it again. Vayah Ish Mitzri. What does he see now? An Ish Mitzri. One Mitzri. Maka Ish Ivri. Hitting one Ivri. Until now, he's seen the Tsar of the Klal. So for the Tsar of the Klal, you may think he's going to help out. No. In the Tsar of the Yochid, says the Pasuk very clearly, he goes in, he intervenes, and he helps out. Noseh Ba'olam Chaverah. He is Noseh Lev Va'ayin, even in the case of a Yochid. Move on to the next pasuk. Vayetze bayom hasheni. He goes out on the second day. What is happening on the second day? Anoshim evrim nitzim. Two Jewish people arguing. Two Jewish people already. Yes, they're my achim. If they're going to argue, what's it my business? And the same theme occurs. Moshe Rabbeinu feels the tzar. Something is happening of it. I have got to get involved. Finally, we're taught Moshe's compassion is not only for the tzibur, it's not only for the yachid, it's not only. Listen to the last one, what happens? He goes to Midian and he steps in to protect Yisro's daughters, Gentiles. One Gentile fighting another Gentile. If there's a tzar, then he becomes a Moshe. He becomes the person that I've got to save this given situation. And he's a Noise Bo'ol Im Chaveroi. That's what really is the qualities that make up the legendary leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu. Today we find many biographies are written about Gedolim. And they all shtel on the fact that he was unbelievable in Hasmada. He was great in Chachma, in IQ, in many things. But if we look at the biography of Moshe Rabbeinu and those 11 psukim, there's just one theme. And it's repeated again and again. It was his ability to understand the suffering of another person, not even another Yid, another person, and to identify with that suffering, to empathize, to commiserate, and to get involved so drastically. Now, one may think that this middah started when it says Vayigdal, when he became Bar Mitzvah. Listen to a scintillating pshat that I heard from Reb Meir Shapiro. We find in this week's Sedra, the Pasuk, Vatiftach Vatir'eyu es hayeled. Basia hears a cry. And she goes over to the basket, she opens the basket, and she sees the baby. Vatir'eyu es hayeled, she sees the baby. Vehine na'ar boiche. And the na'ar was crying. The question that strikes us is, it says it was a yeled, and then it changes the noun into na'ar. The Gemara in other places tells us a na'ar is 9 years old. How did the pasuk change from a yeled, a baby, to a na'ar, 9 years old? Many pshatim have been given. Says Reb Meir Shapiro the following pshat. You know what Basia Baspari said when she heard this cry? She says, Miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. So Reb Meir Shapiro explains. When would a baby cry? A baby cries for two reasons. When it's in discomfort and when it's hungry. But Basia Baspari made sure that Moshe was not in discomfort and was not hungry. So why was he crying? She realized, as we said before, that there's so many things going on around this child that Shaloya Piderach Ateva. It must be a different cry. This cry, she said, is Miyaldei Ivrim Zeh. It is because of the other Jewish children. Although Moshe Rabbeinu was saved, that's fine. But I'm still crying. Why am I crying? Because of all the plight of all the Yaldei Ivrim. What they have to endure, what they have to go through, the gefelech, the suffering. How Paro is bathing every single day in baby's blood. And I'm sitting enjoying myself. So she said, Miyaldei Ivrim Zeh, the cry is a different cry. Not that he is Miyaldei Ivrim. The cry is a cry of Miyaldei Ivrim. And when I saw this chart, I thought, it's so beautiful in the Lashon, because had she been talking about the child, it should have said Miyaldei HaIvrim. Who? He is from the Yaldei HaIvrim, but it says Miyaldei HaIvrim Zeh. This is from Yaldei HaIvrim. That must mean the cry. Moshe Rabbeinu had this. This was his essence. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen as the messenger, so he was going on about his daily business, shepherding the sheep of Yisroel, and he saw this fantastic imagery. What was it? V'hine hasneh boyer be'esh. The snare was engulfed with flames, ve'enoi ukol, and it was not being consumed. And say Chazal, what did he realize? He realized straight away that the snare symbolizes Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. The flames around that engulfed the snare symbolizes the Mitzrayim, the taskmasters, the whip, the oppression. But I heard, look at the time span. When does Moshe Rabbeinu see the snare? He sees it when he's 80 years old. When was the last time he saw the oppression of the Yidden? Vayigdal, when he was 13 years old. 67 years pass. 67 years pass, and as soon as he sees this Mara, he doesn't have to think to himself, what does this mean? He doesn't spend 3 days thinking, what possibly could this symbolize? Straight away, he made that connection. He identified with the Klal Yisrael. Simple. If that's your essence, and you work on your essence every single day, no sebaidim chavero, then he has sleepless nights every night. And he identifies right away. We'll go to another pasuk. When Moshe Rabbeinu chooses names for his children in this week's parasha, the pasuk tells us, the first one he calls Gershom. Why? Ki ger hayisi be'eretz nachriya. I was a stranger in a strange land. And therefore he was called Gershom. The second name that he gave was Eliezer. Why? Ki Elokei avi be'ezri. God came to my help. Vayatzileni me'cherev haro. And he saved me from the sword of Paro. And many people ask this question. Surely this is in the wrong order. He was first saved, Mecherev Paro, and then he moved to Midian, where he was a Ger Beres Nachria. How come he gave Gershom, the name Gershom, first, when it should be Eliezer? The Beis Yisrael was one of the very few people, the Heilige Ger, Rebbe Zechusa Yogin Aleinu, was one of the very few people who was saved from Polish Jewry. When he came over to the shores of Eretz Yisrael, he tried with all his might to save the members of his family, his wife and his children. And he got a basura one day that they didn't survive. But he had an amazing personalness. Much has been written about an amazing personalness. But he did not mention this. He never spoke about this. 33 years later, Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Yisroi, Tov Shin Lamed Zayin, he said the Dvar Torah and quickly mentioned his ownness. And the Dvar Torah, he said, was, he asked the question, and the question was ours. Why did he give the name Gershom first? If that was not the correct order of events, it should have been Eliezer first. And he said in the name of his father, the Imre Emes. You know why he gave the name Gershom? Because he couldn't give the name Eliezer first. You know why? Because Eliezer means that God made an own private nes for me. How can I be mishabech the Rabbi Yisrael about an own private nes when there's hundreds of thousands of Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim under the oppression of Paroi, when he's bathing in their blood, when they're suffering on a daily basis? How can I be mishabech the Rabbi Yisrael for my own private nes? And therefore, the first name that he gave was Gershom. Eliezer only came once he was given that basura, that piece of news that there's going to be a Geula, you will be the Mashiach. Now I can give that name. And the Gera Rebbe, 33 years later, Toshin Lamed Zion, quickly mentioned that Vater and said, I also want to give Shebach Vohidoya to the Rabbeinu Shlomo for my own private niece. We find in the Gemara, on a few occasions, that the Tanoim and the Amoraim, who lived to a ripe old age, they were interviewed by the Talmidim. One such person was Rab Zeira. They asked him, "Bameh harachta yomim? What is your secret to your longevity? Why have you been zoicha to live so long?" And listen to what the Gemara says. He says, "Me oilam lo isasti. I never rejoiced b'takolas chaveri at the downfall of my friend." That's so amazing. Reb Zeira says about himself, the reason why I had this amazing gift of long life was because I never rejoiced at the downfall of my friend. So if I knew my friend had a burglary last night, I didn't make a simcha, I wasn't happy. If you would have been happy, you would be an achzer, you'd be a rasha. What, pray tell, is the pshat? Reb Yitzchak Avorka answers with this majestic pshat. He says we need to put in this phrase a long pause. Me'olam lo'isasti, I never rejoice. Long pause. If and when I knew that a friend of mine had a tzar, it could be my own simcha. I could be making a bar mitzvah, I could be rejoicing in my own simcha, but if I knew that a friend of mine was suffering for any reason, it wasn't a proper simcha. May oilom lo sasti, not because of Yemen. That is the middah of noise ba'olam chaveru. In school, I'm learning with my Talmidim a Gemara that talks about an orphan who, Rahman al-Tzlan, was noticeable that he was an orphan because the eyelashes of his eyes were not there anymore. And the Rashi says, this is not the only case in Talmud that we find such a case. Rashi says, Rabbi Gamliel had a Shechena who cried one night because of the death of a child. Says the Gemara, that night, Rabbi Gamliel cried Kenegdo the whole night. And when he came into the Beis HaMedrash the next day, they said to him, what happened to your eyelashes? There is nothing left. And then they realized Rabbi Gamliel was so bizarre the whole night, he had cried Kenegdo. They had to take him away from that locale. And the next day, he wasn't in the same location, otherwise he wouldn't have been able to give a shiur the next day. That's really the middah of Moshe Ba'olim Chaveri. Say a vart and maybe a story. Everybody is familiar with the following statement. Kolam ispalil ba'ad chaveroi. Hunei natchila. Actually, this comes from a Gemara. Kolam avakesh rachamim. Whoever seeks rachamim, seeks mercy, davens, and he happens to need the same thing, hunei natchila. And Chassidim Taich said a little bit different. Chassidim Taich, kolam avakesh rachamim. Whoever davens and begs mercy, but how does he daven? Vahu tzarech la'oisei davar. He makes it. Now this is my problem. I'm davening for Yana, but it's my problem. I'm a nosei ba'olam chaver. That's when tefillah works. In the year 2006, I was living in Miami and I had a knock at my door. I answer the door and I see Yerushalmi Yid. I bring him in and he proceeds to promote his moshdas that he was raising funds for. I saw that he was having a hard time speaking in English, so I explained to him, if you want to speak in Yiddish, go ahead. That piqued his interest and he wanted to know where do I originate from. So we spoke about London. And then I popped the question, have you ever been to the Sasava Beis Medrash where I grew up? I have lots of mishpacha there, my parents, my grandparents, and it was also the Rebbe's, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, was very accommodating to Shluchai Mitzvah. So I wanted to see if he knew the direct family. And of course, he had been there, and he knew some of the family. But as he was talking about Sasav, I saw his face literally light up. And he proceeded to tell me the following, that he had asked the Rebbe if he could go to his own house to promote his moshdas, and he went in. And he spoke about his moshdas, and the Rebbe took out a charity voucher, and he wrote him out a schum hagoy, a very respectable check, and he gave it to him to save upon him yofos. And had this been it, he would have left very happy. When he finished writing the check, he turned to the mashulach, to the yochid, to the individual, and he said to him, tell me, do you have fleish for yontov? Have you got meat for yontov? To which the Mashonach told me, he said to me, I answered, Kenzachan Eitzegeben, which the Rebbe understood to mean no. So the Rebbe took out his own money and gave this Yid money to have meat for Yontif. And on his way out, he asked him one more question. He said, you have Kinderlich in your house? And he said, yes. Did you have time to buy them matunas, gifts? And he said, Rebbe, you know my schedule. And the Rebbe gave him a bag of toys. And I saw this Yid's face light up. Because he told me that the Rebbe just understood his plight. He put himself in the shoes of this Shliach Mitzvah. And he realized that sometimes it's not a dignified job. And he left feeling so happy with himself. That is the middah of Noseh Ba'olim Chaveri. I see on the clock there's 1 minute left. I'll try to tell you a very, very geschmacka story, but it is quite famous. I apologize if you know the story already. Howard Schultz is the CEO of Starbucks. He's a very wealthy person. He ended up once traveling in Eretz Yisrael with a group of top American businessmen. And they wind up in Meir Sha'arim, and they're given a tour of the Meir Yeshiva. At the end of the tour, they were asked, would you like an audience with Rosh Hashiva and Nosson Tzvi Finkel? They looked at their watches, and they said, okay. They were quite impressed with the Yeshiva, and they said, okay. Then they had to convince the Rosh Hashiva. So they went to the Rosh Hashiva, and the Rosh Hashiva thought for a minute, and he says, I'm in the middle of a chavrusa, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. What's the message the Rosh Hashiva gave in 5 minutes? So they came up the stairs, and they sat down, and they saw the Rosh Hashiva in his gefer lechatzah, stricken with Parkinson's. He was shifting in his seat. It was very, very awkward for them. They sat themselves down, and nobody looked at the Rosh Hashiva. It was too hard for them. And then the Rosh Hashiva saw that they were in discomfort, gave a bang on the table, and he says, gentlemen, please look in my direction. We only have a few minutes. And then he asked the question, who can tell me what is the lesson that we learned from the Holocaust? And then all those eyes went down on the table again. No one wanted to answer. Gentlemen, who can tell me what can we learn from the Holocaust? Give me a lesson that we learn. Howard Schultz writes later that he buried his head in his hands and he begged, whoever he was, to beg God, please don't let him ask me. And someone pipes up, the lesson to learn is never again. And the Rosh Hashiva kind of shrugged it away. And then there was another long pause, and he asked the question again, and he got another answer which he shrugged off, to which the Rosh Hashiva says, let me tell you, when the Jews were rounded up, they were thrown into a rail cart. And they were pressed in this rail cart, there was no facilities, there was no electricity, and many people even died along the way. And when they came off, they were kicked off that rail car, and they had to wait. And we know that children are pulled away from parents, and friends from pulled away from each other, and they had to wait in the selection line. When they got to the selection line, they were either selected to go to a bunker or not. And if they were, they put them in six, a group of six. They were selected, right, you six, you're going to go to this and this bunker. Oh, and then you need something for tonight. And they threw the six one blanket. And there was one person who picked up the blanket. Said the Rosh Hashiva the following. That one person who had the blanket had an option. Is he going to keep that blanket for himself? Or is he going to share that blanket? And the Rosh Hashiva turns to them and he said, in every single case, Klal Yisrael shared that blanket. The Jew shared that blanket. And he turns to these Jewish businessmen and he said, you gentlemen have a very large blanket. Go and share that blanket. You hear Ratzon? We should take this middah of being a Moshe. We should take this middah of Noseh Ba'olim Chaveroi. And we should have the Siyata Deshmaya to work on it, to make it meaningful, to integrate it into our lives. And just like it was, the beginning, that it, just like this middah, paved the way for the Geula in Mitzrayim, it should pave the way for a Geula, for the Geula Shlema, for us, B'Karav Yameinu.